pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be in the house that you've given us, Lord, and we appreciate that so much, that we are not left on our own, as it were, going door to door, house to house, but you've given us a place. A permanency, we believe, as long as we're here, at least we trust so, and if they take it from us, they will have taken nothing. Because all these things are expendable, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that that word which will stand forever, the word that you inhabit yourself, the conduit of the Holy Spirit, will be our solid rock, our solid portion. And when all else fails, we will not fail because we and that rock are one, the true revelation of God's word. So Lord, help us in our studies this morning. May we really understand what is being said. May it feed our souls and thereby become a part of us. And may we somehow manifest it, O God. We don't know how all these things work out. We do know that all things work together for good, and you that have begun the good work in us will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and here it is in that hour. So, Father, we simply commend ourselves to you with gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're continuing this morning, which will be number 4 in the fulfillment of God, and I will read over what we took last Wednesday, and then we'll go right on to the rest of it this morning. Now, the majority of Orthodox Christians are only vaguely aware that their earnest desire to live completely fulfilled lives is the exact desire that God has for them. And God, in fulfilling that desire for the people, he actually fulfills his own desires and fulfills himself. In other words, there is nothing that we really desire, if we were to put it really down and look at it, but what that desire was put there by God, and it's what God desires for us. And in us receiving that, God himself is fulfilled, because that's what he wants. In other words, it's a predestinated plan of Almighty God that is in us by foreknowledge and predestination, and it's the deep calling to the deep. The little deep calling to the big deep, which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost, calling to the Holy Ghost himself. Now, we are unique people in this respect, that we're not just born again, that is the Holy Spirit looking to God for the revelation, but we are those who believe that God in the form of the Holy Ghost in the pillar of fire is here, leading and directing us so that we're not looking down the road and looking back. We are looking at what obtains. And if we ever lose sight of that, let me tell you this, you're either backslidden or have nothing to begin with. Now, you know, I'm very blunt in saying these things because, look, we've got to be honest in this hour. As Brother Branham said, if there was somebody going to run off a bridge or be swept away or out where the tide could take him out, would you say, "Hi there, I got something to tell you"? You'd scream and you'd roar at the person to save him from the cataract or the floods or the death. And I don't intend to do that this morning, but this is what we're talking about. We don't seem to want to set ourselves apart as though we are somewhere. That's what the scripture says in the end time. The bride does not believe she takes any preeminence. She doesn't. But she understands preeminence and in whom it is, the preeminent one. And if you can't recognize the preeminent one, and you see, I worship him and cannot tell who is here in this hour, I just have to ask the question, what are you worshiping? And I don't mean I'm not including myself as I'm looking down at you. I'm stating the principle here. So that's what we're looking at here. If a man should ever be fulfilled, truly fulfilled, and that means that there is a consummation as to the desire and the structure and a continuity of that. Now, you can't take the mafia and these inordinate people that are in the world and compare them with what I'm saying, because they know there is no continuity, but we are talking of a continuity. See? Okay, now in the beginning, as we said Wednesday, Adam and Eve were recipients of endless days of absolute perfection, and all was in perfect order in harmony. And this is what God wanted for them, and it is certain that this is what they themselves really wanted, but only after they experienced the fall.
Now you see, since the fall which we are involved in, we want to go back. See, always want to go back. It is evident that Eve was either not aware that perfection was in her possession, or she did not believe it, or she didn't believe it, or felt that it was all that she should have. She might have thought there was something more, something extra that she was missing and could attain to and thereby gain a perfection. Now, if you apply that today and to ourselves, you realize that what man is actually striving for, he may combine something with it, feeling that he would gain greater and be thereby more perfect than what God has set forth. Now, you've got to look at Adam and Eve in that position. You can't look at Adam at this point. You've got to look at Eve. And it is certainly true that Eve either was not aware of her position of perfection, or she was fooled, which she was, that there was something better and more perfect than she had now. Now you see why Brother Branham hit organization. They've never been satisfied with what God gave. She thought she was missing something. Now Adam, too late, it was too late when Adam found out. Adam, when it was too late, attempted to regain the perfection that he had and had just forfeited, for while he was able to take of the tree of life, he did not, and then could not, and they lost their perfect days, which they were granted. Now, even at the time that Adam sinned, the earth was perfect and not yet afflicted, nor could be until God expressed his judgment and his curse upon it. This curse was because of Adam and for no other reason. Yet God so loved his entire creation. The word is cosmos. God so loved his whole divine order that he planned to redeem it. So now, according to Romans 8, creation will be restored, but it cannot be until first there is a complete restoration of those elected to the first resurrection, both Old and New Testament. As it says, the whole earth is waiting for this. Man must first become immortal, and then creation will drop its curse and also become immortal. When man no longer offends God, creation will no longer be desecrated. One day God is going to destroy the earth and all them that, destroy them that destroyed the earth. Now, here I said here that the earth will drop its curse, or its curse be dropped, when man no longer offends. Now, before I read Romans 8:14-23, we have to realize that there are other scriptures with Romans 14:28-23, such as Malachi 4, and parts of the book of Revelation, many, many more scriptures that show that the curse will be removed at the destruction of all that offends. Now, that's the thing you've got to look at. And when you look at it, it'll boggle your minds, because our own human resources in the realm of thought immediately project that you would come to a place, or God would bring us to a place, where anything could obtain, and it wouldn't matter what obtained, because it wouldn't affect you. That is a lie. It was sin in the human race, and those that perpetrated it upon the human race. And all, therefore, that was perpetrated in the curse which was due to the desecrators. It's all got to go, period. Every germ, every briar, every mosquito, every malaria bug, every single thing will go. Now, let's understand that. Now, I know you see your thinking and my thinking, we think a little bit different from God. It's time to get our thoughts entirely lined up with God. You say, Brother Dale, that's a little bagatelle, a little picayune thing. He that adds a jot or a tittle and takes away is in danger of hellfire. Everything that causes a desecration will go, period. It will be annihilated. Brother Branham said the fire will go thousands of miles high and burn every germ and everything that doesn't belong. There will be no seeds any longer hidden in the earth that someone can manipulate, perpetrate something upon us. No way, shape, and form. That part of the universe that was afflicted by the offensive and desecrated thereby must be dissolved and recreated, even as we see it is thus with that part of man that is offensive to God and has desecrated the things of God. Let's go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, before we read the other part, and let me show you what I mean here. 8 and 10. Now, but if ye are in the flesh, no, let me see, 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Only the spirit is alive because of righteousness. So therefore the human body has to die, and the human body has to be dissolved, and then brought back again in a resurrection. Because it was only in the flesh that Adam and Eve desecrated anything of God. And you cannot find the desecration of this world in spirits. Those spirits have to get a hold of men. That's why the Spirit of God's got to get a hold of us. And the Spirit of this hour has got to get a hold of us. And the Spirit that's in Christ and that's in us must come together in a people that's truly bright and manifest that love. And you can't do it apart from this word. And I'll tell you, you can't do it apart from this pulpit. If you are in doubt of this pulpit, get yourself another preacher. I'm gone, and I kid you not. I'm not here to fool you and defend myself. Look, kid, you know it. I can be gone tomorrow. Don't ever think that I'm fooling with the things of God. Not in this pulpit. Out here, I'll shoot my face off. I'll kid you down there. I even get mad enough to blister you. Not up here. Different story. I'm not interested. I got answer to God, not you. See? We must understand these things. See? All these things got to go. They got to start now. There has to be a new seed to bring forth the refurnishing of the earth, as in 1 Corinthians 15, because the other seed failed. And where did it fail? It did not fail in the spirit. It failed in the body. See, the spirit working through a body could pick up a wrong spirit. Brother Branham said, any spirit can be in any building. It won't do one bit of damage. It won't do one thing. Said, you let that spirit get on you. That's right. And you know something, that spirit, if it ever gets on one person, will start calling all around the audience and the church until who it can pick up will pick up, and it'll form a faction. Honey, listen. You're no dead until you die. And I die. We are not impervious to anything. You must be solemn and careful under the things of Almighty God. All right, there has to be a new seed to bring forth. Isaiah 65. Which we have read before. And Isaiah 65 even mentions the animals. The same as this Revelation. There never was anything wrong with the seed. It's when the body entered in the materialistic. That's why I say it is so tremendously important to understand the spirit behind anything. And about the only spirit I've ever learned to understand a little bit about, as I've told you many times, is the spirit of money. Because preachers got three temptations, popularity and women. Well, you women never have gone for me, and I never will be popular. I shoot my mouth off too much. I stand for what I believe. Got me making a thing with Brother Branham over that. He just let people do what they wanted. I couldn't see it. So one big mouth got a fellow involved in our meetings. I took my stand against unrighteousness and sin and lies. Brother Branham wouldn't. You do what you want. He understood it to be a real herald of the king. Preach the word and walk on. If you don't believe it, forget it. I'm not here to make you believe anything. Or do anything. Ride, hurt, or anything else. That's right. Spirit. Seed. There's a life in the seed. It's that body that messed up. When Eve got messed around with the wrong bodies. If she'd have kept to the body of her husband, there wouldn't have been any trouble. If she had a wrong body get in there. And that's where the trouble lies. So we got to major on the spirit here. Now, the seed of the gospel, until the time of resurrection, cannot allow man to live eternally. There's no way. It's only in chapter 22, in the breaking of the seals, that man can live eternally. Then immortality sets in. So there has to be a seed sown at the end time. Now, before I diverge there for a little bit, I was talking about the fact that everything had to go that brought on desecration. Now let's look over here in the 8th chapter of Romans. And Paul says here, as we read before, as many as led by the Spirit of God, the 8 and 14 of the sons of God, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, right there at the time of the ministry of Paul was the cornerstone. And the cornerstone is no different period from the capstone. It's one and the same thing, but the position is different. Look, if anybody got any money in your left pocket, I've got some money. I will now put in my right pocket. Any difference? It's except in position. Right? So Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever, as the cornerstone that was laid at the time of the Apostle Paul for the Gentiles, because the first years was a platform for the pyramid. The same one that came down in a pillar of fire to the Apostle Paul. It appeared to Moses in Moses' law. In Paul's gospel is here for William Branham's message. No different at all. Identical. Everything was in him, but it wasn't the time. That's why Brother Branham said Moses' message would not work, or Noah's message would not work for the time of Moses. And Moses' message would not work for the time of Jesus. Neither will Paul's message now work for this hour, though it is essentially and intrinsically the same, because the message always was the woman's seed. Essentially. But it came up in steps and degrees until the same Holy Spirit has come back. See? What he's doing. Now, that time Paul said, you cry, Father. The recognition of the Father principle. He didn't say the Son principle, whereby we cry, Brother. He said, we cry, Father. Father, Father. The Spirit itself bears our spirit, that we are thereby the children of God. Now we are identifying with Son. The mediator, the one that sits on the throne up here now. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. See how it comes together? Not a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three separate gods. Not even two gods. Yet Jesus, the man, from literally the loins of God, so to speak, spiritual, bringing forth the Son of Mary, physical. You can look at him, and because he can be worshipped and is worshipped, he is basically God, because God is to be worshipped. But it's always God, the Father, and His Son. It is not God, Father, who is the Son, and this and that other nonsense that people try to tell you. We are not Jesus only, and we are not Trinitarian. We understand one God who had a Son. And that person was able to die because He died. He was put to death in the flesh. But He didn't die in His soul and spirit any more than you and I die in the sense of destruction. He went to a place. And He rose. All right. Now, and if children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be we suffer with Him, that we also be glorified together. Now, the glorification is at the end of the ages, so therefore the church suffers for 2,000 solid years. And the earth suffers. It's under the sentence of degradation and the curse. Man is not cursed, but he walks in the light and the power and the strength and the awfulness of a curse. This is the only never-never land, brother, sister, that you and I go through. But don't go to any other than that never-never land. If you're confused, if you've got problems, just roll with the punches. Learn to stand still until you lick something. That's what's wrong with so many people. You can't stand still until you lick it. You know, I'll be honest with you. No, I won't. I ain't going to talk about it. For I reckon the sufferings of present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him was subjected the same in hope. You're going to get back to where you were. Because creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. In other words, nature will vibrate when we vibrate. Anybody that's scientific enough to take instruments can take every vibration out there in the world. One fellow was so smart, he made what they call the Myoplex machine. Every part of your body vibrates. Your heart's supposed to have a definite vibration from the liver and so on. Of course, doctors laugh at it. Doctors laugh at anything. Let them laugh. They're a bunch of goof-offs anyway. An American doctor wouldn't make peanuts over in Europe because all they know is drugs. What he did, he had to use a tuning fork in order to pick up a vibration and then move it in the electrical realm, and that machine could do wonderful things for you. But the doctors laugh. But it's very strange to use TMZ right now for pain and all. How come the electrocardiograms isn't true to it? How come they measure this and scan your brain for impulses? The doctors know the truth, but there's no money in it when you know the truth. That's why there's no money in the gospel. So if you got the truth, you don't have much money because you don't want it. The less truth you got, the more money's in the church. If you're a millionaire, I'd ask you to go someplace else. I'm not interested in money. All right, let's keep reading. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together now, and not only creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of spirit, even we within ourselves groan, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Now it says here that nature is groaning, and we are groaning, and nature doesn't even have the Holy Ghost. Now nature at that time had the Holy Ghost. Because the cornerstone is the capstone. Now that was spiritual. Then you tell me we're not going to have a spiritual capstone come down here like that? You desecrate the whole Bible. How many people believe this message understand that? Oh yeah, for years they fought me on lies. And now they're saying, and I can even name who they are, but why bother? Well, you see, we see it, but it was that awful spirit Leveil's got. Catch me in one lie I told about him, and I were right through check for $50,000. I didn't crack a grimace. It won't bounce, don't worry. Not boasting, just telling the truth. They won't put their money where their mouth is, though. They're not going to do it. They haven't got the guts. Truth is hard, brother, sister. Let me tell you about that pillar of fire. That destroys everything that gets in its way. And the first thing it hits is liars. The next is scoffers. We have not learned yet to be solemn and serious in the presence of God. I'm a fighter, too much so. And I guess I'll go down and fight, by the grace of God, yes. But if that's true, I'm not going to back away from it. If that's true, I'm not going to back away from it. If it's a lie, I've been fooled. But I'll just say this. Tell me who's got more than we got with our lie. They got a bigger lie than we got. Because they're just trying to make some dead words prove itself from a dead book. Because this book is dead. Unless God does something with it. The minute God does something, that book's alive. The charismatics can't prove a thing because God said, I'm going to anoint everybody. I'll anoint all flesh. They'll all do the same thing, except they won't have the word. Alright, the beginning of the fulfillment of Romans 8, 14 to 23 is seen in Revelation 5 under the opening of the seven seals. Because in Revelation 5, 1 to 14, we read how John saw the one sitting on the throne with the book that nobody could open, so the Lamb came and opened it. And when he did, all heaven broke forth in praising and wonderment and said, in verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and them that are all that in them, I heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne. And up there at the same time was this tremendous and wonderful number of people praising the Lord. Now, the exact description and time of that particular scriptural revelation depends on what seal it's under. Because it's under the seals that this takes place. Not the church ages now, that's finished. That revelation is over. But it's under the seals. Now, which seal does it take place under? Okay? In Revelation 10, you will notice, in the sixth verse, and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created the heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things that therein are, the time should be no longer. Now listen, you know that people are not in heaven per se. They're not in the atmosphere per se. They're not under the ground per se. They're not in the water per se. They're on the earth. And those on the earth are praising and glorifying God under the opening of the seals. And here is where the earth is mentioned again. So you can see a direct relation to what I'm trying to tell you here. That at the time the bride people are glorified and loosed from the thraldom of sin and power and degradation and desecration and so on, irreverent, that's the time the earth gets it. See? Now what seal is it under? It's under this seal right here. That's all we know about it. Now, let's notice here. We saw the bride. Now, last Wednesday's tape, for you, this is sketchy. You get last Wednesday's tape. It's filled in very full there. You'll notice carefully in Revelation 5, 8 to 12, the bride is dealt with in particular. It's a long dissertation. But in Revelation 10, 1 to 6, it is now creation time of restoration, for the sons of God are already shown to be manifested or adopted, and nature can now no longer suffer but come into the same order that mankind's been brought into. And you notice in here that's all that's mentioned here is the earth and creation. So, when you understand Brother Branham having come with the message, his message in particular is to loose all creation to come into the liberty of the glory, that emanation and that radiation and reverberation and scintillating, glowing literally searing as it comes forth, if you want to use the term, but it's a soft glow. It doesn't really sear. It could if it had to. Nature all depends upon that and enters into it. Man gets in harmony first with God, and God with man, then everything else begins to flow. That's why God placed love in the church. In order, if we ever get the understanding of love in the church, and I don't want sleazy love, but I call it that because, look, you can even pretend you love somebody, but put on a good front. Look, I don't mind. I'll be honest with you. I hope you understand and read me what I'm saying. God put that in the church because love worketh no ill toward his neighbor, and love says, I will do to others what I want others to do for me. Love understands a few things that nothing else can understand. God put that in the church until God himself, who is love himself, takes over. The love of God is not the God of love. You understand the saying? The love of God is the love of the God who is love. And that God who is love puts his own love in us by the Holy Ghost, the baptism, and the conduit is the Word. So if this church is built upon the Word, we have got to have that kind of love. And nobody's going to ride herd on you. I have to go to your house and peek under the bed. I have to follow you around and see if you're gumming things up and messing things up. Why should I? This is adult season. Time to be full grown. Melchizedek time. Perfection time. See? Now, the bride is dealt with in particular in Revelation 5, 8 to 12. But in Revelation 10, 1 to 6 is now creation time, restoration of creation. For the sons of God are already shown to be manifest or adopted. Nature can now no longer suffer. See? Then in verse 7 of the 10th chapter, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God had declared the good news of the gospel to his servants the prophets. And the last good news to any believer is you won't die. You're back to the tree of life. Now you may sit here this morning kind of numbed what I'm saying. And I don't mind that at all because I'm in the same position. To me, they are not just words. They are more than words, but they are not at this point living, liquid, pulsating, reverberating words. But the more we get this junk out of our minds that shouldn't be there, and the desires that we really don't want anyway, because we know we're condemned in them, and as we move more and more and up into Christ, it will be that way. It's coming. If not for us, somebody else. Then verse 7, we find that as God has come down to deal with creation, he also deals with the bride by the gospel. Because they've always got to go together. But notice how beautiful the opening of the seal said, the Lamb bride is redeemed. And in the next breath, creation, get in line. What more do you want? See? It is the state of 1 Corinthians 15:20, the resurrection, Christ appearing, and everything in divine order. We read it. Also, we see that time begins to blend into eternity. In verse 6, speaking of creation, time shall be no longer. The earth is now coming to a state of complete immortality, and God stopped Adam from being immortal in the state in which it was, so therefore God will stop this earth. He did stop the earth being immortal, but now it's time to be immortal. Time has run out. What time has run out? The time of the curse from the time that Eve and Adam went back on God to the time when God said, it's time for immortality. This is that hour. So if Brother Branham truly came as Elijah to bring restoration, it's got to be according to the mouth of all the holy prophets, and that is New Jerusalem is in sight as it never was before, because now man is passing to immortality. And the next step is the earth. It'll take 1,000 more years. Which is just like that. Time blends with eternity. Revelation 10 and 6. Now then, since Revelation 10 6 depends on Revelation 10 and 7, that's creation depending on the bride, it is evident that Revelation 10 and 7 is nothing more nor less than 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57, because it says, the trumpet shall blow, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed into incorruptible material, and no longer mourning. And that goes, come to the New Jerusalem. Because it's the only place fit for her. There's no place else. Thus we see Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the seventh or last seal, because it goes come out to the restoration of creation, which is spoken of in 2 Peter 3, 10 to 13. It sets in motion the dissolution of the earth. And you say, well, I think God ought to just do this, do that, wipe it out. I'll tell you the secret of why. Just why Brother Brown spoke this message. We'll get to it. I don't care if we put two tapes on. I'm going to get finished today. We've got food out there. As soon as we get through, you can eat. We're here till 1:30. I don't give a rip. You hold on. My voice holds out. God will hold out. All right. Let's look at 2 Peter, the third chapter. And it says in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as the thief, the night in which the heavens will pass away, the great noise, and the melt with her heat. The earth also and the works that are in them shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and behavior and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the heavens melt with fervent heat. Now, it tells you right there, at the time that this is to happen, it's time to spins into eternity. And 1,000 years is a 24-hour period. Like it or not, that's violent. Now it says, well, if in 24 hours that's going to happen, and you knew it would happen, I look at all of you, and you look right back at me. What would you change from this minute on in your life? What would you change about your life? I want you to be uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. Trying to do the will of God, I know. The same as you know. What every one of us should have put aside a long time ago. Of the carnal things of life. The Bible says it right here. What this end time message should do in and to us. If you were a good born again Roman Catholic and you still believe in confessing to the priest, you never need to go back. You'd expect him to tell you something. But he has isolated himself so that he can sin, but you can't. Let me tell you something flat. Only perfect ones in that pillar of fire. The only holy one, the only great one. You and I will never approximate him. But in this hour, it says, we better try. Because it said, that day it just rips snorting right along. It's hastening it. Like that. Get that tape from Waterloo. If you get the right tape, you'll be there the night that the Holy Spirit flap Brother Branham's coattails in the wind and roared off across the congregation. And Elsie, if you were here, I'd just have you hit those cords, that electric organ. Just crash. I rose off my chair to stop the organist playing the pipe organ. He hasn't left. You couldn't help but know something in that man's presence because the presence there. It's about time, brother, sister, we got to the place where we know about that presence, because that day is coming upon us very fast, and it can be attained to by prayer and by godly consecration. We are fast coming to the seventh seal, where we're ushered right into the millennium. Brother Branham said the seventh seal. Remember, the seventh seal is the end of all, that's end of time of all things. That's right. In other words, the seventh seal goes plumb to the white throne and right up to the new Jerusalem. Because now the things in time are swinging into eternity, and everything that's here in time, plumb to the white throne and past, goes right on to the new kingdom. Sealed up the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world, and future home is part of it. It every bit ends. It is the end. The end of the struggling world. Hallelujah. Right now, the end of the world struggling. You say, it looks like it's getting worse. It is, but don't worry. It's getting better. The bigger the devil gets, the bigger God gets. The end of struggling nature. He says it twice. The struggling world, the end of everything. Here ends the trumpets. The end of the vials. The end of the earth. End of time. Time runs out. The Bible says so. Time will be no more. The end of the church age, the end of the seventh seal, ends the trumpets. Even ends the vials, even ends the ushering of the millennium. In other words, Brother Branham is telling you that every single thing that started back there in the plan of God begins chopping off. Because it isn't required anymore. There's no more message chopped off. Oh, I'm looking for this great thing to happen and a great messenger. Maybe God will chopped it off. Seventh seal. Well, there's something else. No, chopped it off. On the seventh seal, the trumpets get chopped off. The vials get chopped off. This gets chopped off. That gets chopped off. Until there's nothing left to chop off. It's all over. Seven. Hit eight. Puts you in a new category. Like one firing a rocket in the air. Rocket explodes. Here it goes up. Then explodes again. Puts out five stars. One of those stars explodes. Blows out five more stars. Then one of those stars that goes dries up five, four, and then it fades out. That's the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. Ends the time for this time, that. And he tells you, it's progressive. It's progressive. Under the seventh seal, Pentecost died. It's all over. Under the seventh seal, there's no more message. There's no more revelation. It's all done. Now, I know people still looking around. They're like John the Baptist. John the Baptist screamed, oh, he said, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one, here's the one, here's the one. And he said, hey, he said, when he got in prison, got touched, were you really the one? Or did I boo-boo? What is boo-boo? He didn't boo-boo. My God, if that man boo-booed, I'm going to cut my throat. I've got a chance. I've been around some of the greatest men of the 20th century. They couldn't begin to approximate that man. What are you looking for? See? Okay. The seventh seal embraced the descent of God in 1 Thessalonians 4. And it embraces the second, which is the physical, second time coming in flesh in Revelation 19. After we meet him in the air at the wedding supper. Now remember, that's the second time coming physical. We meet him in the air. And he does not go back on the throne. We have a wedding supper, and we come down with him and take over. That's the real one. See, he incarnates himself at the wedding supper. Then it takes over the millennium after Revelation 19 and places the Lamb on the throne and the pillar of fire above the throne. Now let's go to Joel. Okay, thank you. We'll see what we can do. All right. Joel. chapter 2 and verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Now, right there, God comes on the scene and talks to the world, to his cosmos, apart from man. Be not afraid, you beast of the field, and you pastors out there, they're dying for rain. Become a wilderness. Do spring. The tree bears her fruit. The fig and the vine tree their strength. Now watch. Be glad then, you children of Zion, of the new Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first. Now they've got month in there, but the word month doesn't obtain. He's telling you that Alpha is Omega, and Omega goes back to exactly where it was. So at the time of the latter rain, which started in 1906, God gives the former rain, which is William Branham's message. That's exactly Revelation 10, 6 and 7. Then tell me the Bible doesn't make perfect sense every single time. Listen, brothers and sisters, don't sit there wondering and go back to Pentecost, Mennonite, Methodist, Baptist. Listen to what's going on and take it. You say, Brother Dale, I can't then show you in college. You need to go to God, get full of the Holy Ghost, something will happen to you. Anybody can understand it. All you've got to do is want to believe. But if you sit here and you're disbelief, even disbelieving me, I have no authority. You're not going to get what I'm saying. I don't care who you are. You're sitting right there and you're not going to get it. Let's keep reading. And I'll restore to you again. Jordan, years the locust had eaten the canker and the caterpillar, palmwood. My great army I send among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that it one is with you. My people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Remember, mountains, remember, Zion is always bright. And remember, Israel is not a matter of being Jacob. Jacob is Jacob. This is just the name he was given because he wrestled with God as an elect person. For all Israel's not Israel. They're Jacob. Khazars and God knows what. This is Prince with God. And I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. It'll come to pass afterward. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh when this man comes on the scene. And God announces to mankind and announces to nature. And remember, the millennium is only 24 hours. And what's 30, 40 years out here waiting for it? Minutes. See? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters, prophets, old men dream, young men see visions, and so on. Upon my servant, and also upon the servants upon handmaidens, those that pour my spirit. And Peter correctly said it. He said, upon your children and upon mine. The anointing. False anointing and true anointing. See? All surrounded the earth, in heavens and earth, blood and smoke, and blood and fire, pillar and smoke. The sun turned into darkness, moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now he comes here with the promise. And he said, listen, people, listen, earth. I'm down here to set everything in divine order. And Brother Branham taught us church order. And people think church order is going to some little room and talking in tongues. Hogwash. I never heard such nonsense. Putting him at the head of it. Putting him at the head of it. That's what it's all about. Now, if we're not part of it, somebody is. See? And then it says, whosoever call it come to pass, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. That's in the bride. As the Lord said, and in the remnant whom the Lord our God shall call. What's a remnant at that time? You can put the remnant as the bride, or you can put the remnant with the foolish virgin. It doesn't matter. Compound meaning. They'll be hunted like dogs and killed after we're gone. But they'll make it. Now let's go to Psalm 96. Eleven to 13. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. Well, listen, if that's the truth, and he's the judge as revealed by Brother Branham, this has taken place. So Brother Baylor want to see, shut up and listen. It isn't that moment. This is enough to see. As soon as you and I get out of here and change and come back and get rid of all the mess we're supposed to get rid of for the time being, then God will renovate a part of this earth the same as he did with Noah's day. Then after sin reappears upon the earth at the white throne, he'll wipe it all out to nothingness. Twenty-four hours. That's all there is to it. Isaiah 65. We read it so many times. 25th verse, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt and destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Nothing. Everything that's good has a potential for evil outside of God himself. As long as evil is out there. But notice what God's going to do? He's going to get every single thing evil and then even make the vessel so it couldn't even respond to evil if it wanted to. And that's proven in the millennium because Satan is only bound by a chain of circumstances. Man doesn't even want it. That's right. Now let's stop a minute. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and 2:51. Now let's look at this beautiful picture here in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you this, we will not all see, but all be changed. We won't all die. In a moment, drink me out the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound. Now notice the repetition. The trumpet shall sound. There's an emphasis there, there's no place else. So it categorically means there's got to be a trumpet before the dead are raised. And there's got to be a trumpet because the living have to have it. And what did Paul say the living had to have? The Lord descend with the shout, the voice of the archangel trumpet God. And you can prove absolutely that Brother Branham said the truth. It's a message. It's a raising the dead. It's a calling the people to the wedding supper. The trumpet that red should raise incorruptibility, we should be changed. For this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, and this mortality put on immortality. So in this incorruptibility shall I put on incorruptibility, and this corruptibility shall put on incorruptibility, and so on. And that word put on means an inner garment, and it is not a garment, it is a vesture. And a vesture is where you use the term investment. And Brother Branham investured us. He said, I don't call you church anymore. He didn't even call us saints. He said, I call you bride. And the judge pronounced the judgment. You didn't even do it at all. No man can lay a finger on you. You are the perfect, sinless, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what right has a man got to say that? Because he's a prophet. Amen. You don't judge a prophet, brother, sister. He's the one person that cannot be judged. Now listen, here is the bride dressed. Not in robes fit for a garden. So she will go back to Eden. She is not dressed for the garden. She is dressed as the queen for the city of the great king. Man loves to think of the rural, the expanses of nature. I never have been like some of you boys with the fishing rod and the gun and out there rambling around with Esau. I've been more like Jacob with the pots and pans and rambling around home. Now, I'm not comparing myself. You see, I'm better for the city than you are. I'm just telling you this, brother, sister, that any longing for the vast outdoors and all is very good. Brother Branham longed for it. He was a real rambler and a hunter, and with conflict, he loved it. But he's not going to be unhappy in the eternal great city, which isn't the great big outdoors. It's a combination. When he wandered up there in the wilderness, And he was going to trick Meadie and the kids and get him up there. And the kids will tell you. Becky and Jim will tell you about it. God said, yes, go ahead. And he showed him the city dump and the bum. Would you trade the great outdoors and the city dump for the New Jerusalem? I wouldn't. I'm a city kid. Sorry. Oh, I've been out the outdoors. I like it. Clear air. Beautiful country. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not hungering for New Jerusalem and hungering for your own ideas, you could be sitting on dangerous ground. You see, you and I don't have any input here. It's God's input. Now, she's adorned for the king. And she's all beautiful within and without. Because this message does it. All glorious. She not only has the vibration of the deep calling to the deep, but everything in her senses and being now vibrates to a perfection to bring forth the deep unto the deep. You know something? Are you catching what I'm saying? And I'm going to illustrate. Now, please don't take this wrong. It goes out. I should really block this off the tape because, look, I'm sick and tired of preachers anyway. I've had it with them. I'm not interested anymore. I know what I believe, why I believe it. If you, knowing your own experience, your own life, with what you have sitting there, with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and you have a call commensurate, and an understanding involved commensurate to what your deep calls to, what do you think that little flame of fire does to me? Because it's a gift. Always looking and looking at God. Not seeing and living, no more than you. But looking. Where did it all start? Why do I preach the way I preach? Because it's always the one thing, the witness to Jesus Christ. The pre-existent, pre-incarnate. Can I follow? I don't follow. I don't understand a lot. But the tedious thing that God shows me does so much to me to know. I can't explain it. A little trickle down from Brother Branham. He said he couldn't do it either. What a mistake I made that I didn't probe his mind and plumb his mind like I did for as many hours as I could for 11 days on just the Book of Life. Dogmatically fight back and forth for 4.5 hours on one little thought. Now, I don't think I'm boasting. You might think I am, say, well, that's Dale. Look, if you think that, please, that's all right. You've got your privilege. I got mine, too. But I'm trying to show what is within you. What is calling? What is looking? And I'm going to tell you, it's going to find it. And it's going to be found under the seventh seal. Brother Branham said the new name is under the thunders of the seventh seal. Now listen to this, what Brother Branham says about the bride, which is the third pole. Now he said, I'm going to go hide away. He's up in Sabina Canyon. I had my hand out. This is 562 of the seal. All at once, something hit my hand. I don't know. I can't say. Did I go to sleep? I don't know. Doing the trance? I don't know. What's the vision? I can't tell you. The only thing I'd say from what it was, the same thing like those angels were. And it struck my hand. And I looked, and it was a sword. It had pearl handles, real pretty, and a guard over it with gold. And the blade looked like something like chrome, like silver, only real shiny. It was feather edge sharp. Oh, my. And I said, isn't that the prettiest thing? Just fit my hand. I thought, how awfully pretty. And I said, hey, I'm always afraid of those things, the sword. And I thought, what'll do with that? Just then a voice shook down through the rocks and said, it's the sword of the king. Then I came out of it, the sword of the king. It didn't say a sword of a king, but it said the sword of the king. And there's only one the king, and that's God. And he has one sword, that's his word, what I live by. So help me, God. Now listen, he screams in prophecy. And what has a sword got to do with putting on a dress? Take a dress off, or take the dress off. Smart, take the skin off you. Take the hair off you. It says here, bring on his holy vesture with his holy word laying there. The bride puts on the holy vesture of God Himself and is doing it now. Say, Brother Vail, that's a long way down the road. Then you don't believe that He opened all seven seals. You don't believe that Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the seventh seal. You don't understand that stay with the vindication theorem and principle. If He proved it, I've got it. You're not standing on your thinking this morning, and I'm not either. By the grace of God, may God tear the roots of our thinking out of our brains. I've had some happen to me, but not near enough. You may be millions of miles ahead of me. Because I got so much to clear out of my stupid head, and you don't. I read too many books. With what body did she come? Plainly, it's a body according to the seed. And the seed is perfection or finished because time runs out. And it was only potential seed at the time Paul preached it. Like Brother Branham said, you Lutherans potentially had the Holy Ghost. You had Him. And he said, Luther, look for the pillar of fire. And a bunch of believers so-called in Brother Branham said, well, you see, Luther never had the Holy Ghost. He didn't. I got news. I asked Brother Branham that flat. I said, you weren't trying to say that those men didn't have the Holy Ghost. He said, no, certainly not. I knew that. How can you be part of the bride of Jesus Christ and Luther and seven church, the fifth church age messenger not have the Holy Ghost? Oh, come on, brother, sister. Any more than the tiger has tiger life. Or a dog has dog life. Or wheat has wheat life. Or a pigeon, pigeon life. Or a fern, fern life. What kind of nonsense are people preaching and talking so that they believe this message? Time has run out. It is the eternal body, like unto the body of His glory. Which of His glory? Of His total assessment. The totality of God. Face to face. The seed is the last gospel message sown in Revelation 10 and 7. It is the seed of the entire Bible. From the serpent to the prophet in the form in the latter rain. The entire Bible goes from the mystery. What was it that really knocked Adam and Eve out of the garden? What is going on now today? Where did it come from? Where is it going? And once you come from that to the prophet, all the mysteries come out. I'll show you the mystery before we get out of here. Why, Brother Branham preached the eighth day in what he says in this message. See? Now, it is also Hebrews 6, coming to perfection. Let's look at it. Hebrews 6. You know, they couldn't understand, they couldn't take Melchizedek. Not back in that day. He said, forget it, you're a bunch of kids. But he said, when you're full grown, up to the stature, according to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, therefore leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Not laying again, the foundation of repentance from dead works, the faith toward God, the darkness of baptism, laying on hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. This will do God permit. Now look, when you come to perfection, you're even through with resurrection. But somebody's going to deal with it before the resurrection. Right? Right. How much preaching gospel do you need when you're resurrected? None. So it says right here, I'm going to tell you something that is above and beyond all of this. See? We'll let you in on the thunders, on the seals. And this will do God permit, but God did not permit. And He gives a warning. It's impossible for those who are once for light and once for all enlightened. Taste the heaven to give, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the word to come. Having fallen away, they can never come to repent. Whatever they got down here, they'll be stuck with. And you can't change them. And nobody understood their rapture. You think they understand now? They laugh at it. You know the people that say they believe Brother Branham? They don't believe the presence of God. They believe He's gone off somewhere. He's gone off somewhere. If that's the case, then I want to ask you, who's the prophets of Baal and who is Elijah? Because Elijah said, have your gods gone off hunting? Can you not place him? Do you know where he is? Ho, ho, ho. Why, he's pulling a joke. He's asleep. Where'd this God go? Where'd he go? You say, be Brother Branham's missing. Where'd he go? The prophet said the last father fell asleep. I told you about this guy in Canada. Joe Smallwood. He was a premier of the western, most west easterly part of Canada. Newfoundland. Belonged to Great Britain. It wasn't the 10th province. Canada got 9 provinces up there. After every Confederate father was dead, Joe Smallwood became the last father of Confederation. William Branham is the last father to fall asleep. With Paul. Right. Both Elijah are going to come here. They're going to fall asleep. And when Israel and the world gets through to those, then they get rid of their two prophets, Moses and Elijah, because they hate them. And they say, it was a trick after all. Those dirty, rotten dogs are dead, dead, dead. They lie in the street for 3.5 days or so, and the Spirit of God picks them up, and they say, good riddance, a bad riddance on you. You say, my God, Brother Bill, can they be that tough? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? When Polycarp was surrounded by flames and the flames wouldn't reach him, they took a spear and gouged him through. And the spear let water out his body to let the flames go out. And they stood back and said, well, we got it after all, didn't we? You're living in a dream world, brother, sister. The dream world of the goodness of man. We all got something nice in us. You haven't begun to net the devil. How many of you have even read Falk's Book of Mark? Come on, Bill, just raise your hand. How many read it? Get your hands up. I want to see it. Where have been the rest of you all your lives? Now, you know we've got Smucker's Martyrology. You can get a copy anytime you want. You can pick up Martyr's Mirror, this thick. Maybe you know what's coming upon you. All right, listen. They'll crucify themselves, the Son of God, if they put him over shame, for the earth will drink, and then the rain that cometh oft upon us, 7 church ages, 7 messages. Bring it forth, urge meat for them by whom it's dressed. You'll bring forth the messenger's message, receives the blessing of God, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. And what was it that brought the thorns and the briars? The people taking Satan's message instead of God's. It's going to be burned. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. You know something? We look back at the first age and think they were so wonderful, and they were. They were dog-eared like us too, don't worry. Don't go back with any fond memories and say, oh, be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if we were nice like them? Hogwash, be nice like we're supposed to be. I don't care about those boys back there. They got to me. I had Pentecost with his ashes and dregs years ago. I want to be one of God's boys in this hour. Not something else. Now listen, in 1 Corinthians 15. Now I know I'm preaching hard and it's rough, but that's all right. You still with me? Hope you're understanding now, because this is not going too fast. Verse 35, but some man will say in 1 Corinthians 15, how are the dead raised up? What body they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quick except to die, and that which thou sowest that body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance to greet us some other grain. God gives it a body to please him, there we see his own body. Now listen, all flesh is not the same flesh. He's talking about the resurrection. There's one kind of flesh of men, another beast, another fish, another birds. Flesh your body, flesh your chest, one is glory, and so on. The moon, the sun, the stars. So is the resurrection of the dead, sown in corruption, raised in corruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in natural body, raised in spiritual body. There's a natural spiritual body. It's written, the first man Adam made a living soul, second quickening spirit. But that was just spiritual, was not first. That was natural, was first. After that, spiritual. In other words, you got to die and come back. The first man's earth, the second man's Lord in heaven. Now, just a minute. Just a minute. It says here all of those people that died had a natural body and they died. And they were identified with the natural man. The last group don't die. Then they're identified with Jesus risen as no other group ever has been. And they don't even know who Jesus is. They think he's a man sitting on a throne up there somewhere. They don't know he came back in the form of the Holy Ghost and a pillar of fire, that God gave his Son to us again in the form of the Holy Ghost. Son of God, Son of Man. They can't understand that. There's no way they're going to understand it. This is the time of the resurrection. This is the time that he appears. The first man to earth, the second man is the Lord from heaven. We don't die. What seed have we got, brother, sister? What seed makes us different? It is not that it wasn't the seed of God to begin with, but in that did not lie what lies at this hour, which is immortality. So therefore, as the glory of Luther eclipsed Rome's and left it as nothing, and the glory of Wesley, when Lutheranism came to nothing, you know, it made Luther as nothing. And when Pentecost came, the baptism, that's three, four deliverance. Now, with him present, it's nothing. Less than nothing. It's the briars and the chaff cursed for burning. It's a part of the earth out here that God's curse is on. He lifts the curse for your body and mine. Brings it back. The rest annihilated. Or he just brings it back. He doesn't put it back in the body. He leaves calcium, potassium, so on, whatever it is. It is 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. They all looked in a glass darkly till now. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord will take away the veil. Where the Lord, the Spirit is, you've got a freedom. And we all with open face beholding as a glass the assessment of the Lord. Understanding true assessment. Knowing God and what he's all about. Not as though we were God, but within our capabilities. The veil's been lifted. And now, my brother and my sister, change from glory to glory. As Luther from Catholicism and Wesley from Luther and Pentecost from Wesley, we to the very present. And Brother Branham said, what a glory that'll be, it'll never fade. In other words, we've begun to enter into the divine complete presence of Almighty God himself, where we simply believe what a prophet said vindicated, and the pictures which are authentic, and we stand on it. We're moving into it more and more until we're completely at home in his presence and really one with him. Listen, let's read it in the Romans, the 12th chapter. It is not what people think it is. It's whole far different. For it says here in the first three verses, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. In other words, you should do it. It's just right. And be not conformed to this world. Do not be confessed to the cosmos of this world. But be you transformed to the cosmos of God by the renewing of your mind. That word means transfigured. And this is the age of the mind. It is what you will let your mind absorb of this word of God, putting out everything contrary to it. Until you come to the place where even conduct, and that's very important, is thought about with the understanding and the light of the Word of God, and the actions in the same light. Then the mind is so filled with the Word of God and the Spirit going into the heart that every single channel to the soul has nothing but the Word of God in it. And it's like these new things they got in the market now. You just clamp it, they're magnets. You clamp them on the pipes of your house, it just takes the rust out. takes all the gum and junk out. Listen, you might have lead poisoning today. You might have too much iron. You may have too much aluminum of the wrong stuff. But you start putting the true organic into your body against the inorganic, the organic will clean out the inorganic. You get the living Word of God coming into your mind, it'll clean out the dead Word of God. And bring you back to spiritual health, which is in Christ Jesus. And then now, the tide is turned, and watch the Word come forth. Then you see the healings and things that are with God. It has come to Ephesians 1:17, which is spirit of wisdom, revelation of church, all the way to Ephesians 1:23, which is seated with Him. And that goes to New Jerusalem, which is the promise of Revelation 3:21, that you'll sit with me in my throne as I'm sitting with my fathers. For the last age is the mind age. It is the age of repentance, the change of mind. It is the eagle age. Now listen carefully. The mind in the head is in the head, and the bride has no head but Christ. So how are you going to get the mind without Christ? And how are you going to get the mind of Christ without the prophet? The mind is in the head, and the bride has no head but Jesus Christ. Therefore, the head must be Omega and appear exactly as Alpha, which it did, according to the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, when he said, we have the mind of Christ. And he said, Galatians 1:11-12, nobody taught me, nobody, but God Himself, just like Moses, just like William Branham. Now, once you come to headship, you find yourself in Isaiah 40:13-14. Here it is. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, taught him? With whom took ye counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in paths of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Nobody did. So you better get a hold of God. And in 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, that created the ends of the earth? Fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. So don't try it. Let him figure yours out for you instead. Don't try to figure God. All right. Consequently, as stated in Ephesians 1:17, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation came into the church as it came in the days of Paul. It takes you to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where God, the Holy Ghost, comes down and puts gifts in the church, which are not gifts of tongues, interpretation, so on, but it's actual men, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, to bring the church to a perfection, right up to Christ Himself, where He comes down as the head pastor, and everything lines with Him. This brings us then to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Let's look at it. This is the marriage again. This is what we're talking about. This is the pledging of the groom. There's no divorce. Now it says here, submitting yourselves to God, another one unto your God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, the Lord. Husband is head of the wife, even the Christ head of the church, he's the Savior of the body. That's like the man takes care of the woman by feeding her, seeing, taking care of her. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. That's pertaining to the wifely and husbandly things. Under Christ, you've got to answer to God separately. Husband loves your wives, even Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing water by the word. That's a rhema. That's a literal word. And he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He should be holy and without blemish. So men ought men love their wives, their own body. He to love his wife loves himself. No man to hate his own flesh, but nourish in charity is the Lord of the church. Now you see, that's what God's promise to us. Remember his body, flesh, and his bones. For this cause a man leaves father and mother, join his wife, the two become one flesh. The great mystery is speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, especially 31-32. This cause a man leaves father, man leaves father and mother, join his wife, become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So he's talking about the man as the time of Adam has left and done something to join the church. Now, this is based upon 1 Corinthians 15:45. To make this a little more clear, as I understand time, you know, time goes on, I get things a little clearer. Now, it says, as written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam, a quickening spirit. That's what it says right here. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. The first Adam, a living soul, the last Adam, a quickening spirit. Now, it says in there, This is in the context, of course, of 1 Corinthians 15:35 to 50 or so, right in that, or maybe even to 53 or 54. Now, it's talking about the resurrection. And at the time of the resurrection, all this change goes on. It tells you distinctly there is a first Adam and a last Adam. And the first Adam was a quickening spirit. And, of course, that's not Jesus Christ. The last Adam becomes a quickening spirit. And at that particular time, you'll notice in Genesis 2 and 24 that God brought Eve to Adam and said, "This is your wife, and for this cause a man leaves father and mother and becomes joined to her. They become one flesh." And you notice exactly what Adam said. He said, "Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now for this cause, this is why the man leaves, and this is why he joins." Now you'll see right here, that was the first Adam. Now the second Adam, he is also the last Adam. And Christ is that one. And it brings it out concerning the time of the resurrection, that there has to be a presentation of that particular time concerning a marriage where they become absolutely one, bone of bone and flesh of flesh. And that is done right now, according to Matthew 25, in order that the bride will know her husband, the Word of God. Brother Branham said so. So now she's identified. And he identifies her, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, because this is what I left everything for in order to gain her." And she recognizes him. And if she doesn't, she's not bride. Rebecca knew exactly who Isaac was. She never had a bit of trouble. Mary had no trouble. Anna had no trouble. Simeon had no trouble. Paul had a lot of trouble. He met him face to face. That was it. Moses had trouble, but not soon he met him face to face. That was it. William Branham. Now you and I met him face to face the same way in this great hour here. So what you're looking at here, in Ephesians the fourth chapter, we'll go to it now. And let me see, what verse do you want in here? Thirtieth verse. That's all right. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now we're right down here to the day of redemption. And the day of redemption is what? Over here, Ephesians 1:17. The 23 tells you. So now here, you got a people that can grieve the Holy Spirit unto this period. Now what about the Holy Spirit himself? This is just the baptism to verse 17 now. Verse 15 brings you to the end, to the baptism, which Brother Brown says is a temporary thing. It's temporary. When this comes, you're permanent. It's all over. So there's no grieving it. There's coming in alignment. There's coming right to the place of the husband and wife coming together. This is exactly John 14, 1 to 6. 5 minutes then? I don't know if I can do it in 5 minutes. I want to turn to her. I don't have too much left to go. Now this time, I say, this takes us to John 14, 1 to 6. Now let's go back and look at it. Because Brother Branham went to John 14 and 12. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And the Father said to many mansions, one is what I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, you will come again and receive myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you go. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not where thou goest, nor can we know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but me." Now, Jesus said, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And when I have that accomplished, this great place, I'm going to come and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also." So, he made the promise. And that promise is actually, it extends beyond the rapture. This is not a true promise of the rapture. This is the promise of New Jerusalem, which is 1,000 years after the rapture. But without the rapture, you won't get it. So therefore then, the coming again will have to precede the rapture. Now that's it. You say, I don't think I believe that. You don't have to believe that. I got no problem. I just take your scripture and you believe it or not. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by a gathering together unto him. Now what are you going to be gathered unto? For the mansion. For the eternal city. But there's a transition. There's a stopping off place. Because we can't have it until all the dead are there. Because they're going to bring their glory in from the outside. So this is a promise to the bride. I'm coming for you exclusively. But you'll notice, at the white throne, he doesn't come for anybody exclusively. They come to him. So therefore, those that he comes for exclusively are New Jerusalem. So if you drop that, you've dropped everything. You drop 1 Thessalonians. Now listen, you heard what I said a while ago, and you notice I took the rapture. I took the promise of New Jerusalem, put it right with the rapture, and it can cause confusion. I want to warn you, because I'm going to talk about that in a minute or two. This takes us then immediately, the mansions, to Revelation 21. And I saw the bride descend out of heaven from God. Now, all this is in the seventh seal. Time runs out, end of everything. Ends up ushering the millennium, the seventh seal. And it's like a Roman candle. It keeps going, and it keeps going until what? Redemption is completely run out into perfect manifestation and the fruits of it. So therefore, everything that is manifested from redemption now enjoys the fullness of God. Your perfection. And that's what God wants for it. And we can never dream it up. And in our present condition, because we are so far from reality, we have a job envisioning a city of pure transparent gold and no sun and no moon and not even any time to sleep. And sleep is such a blessed thing because it helps to block out what? The fact there's no perfection. And when you get perfection, why would you want to sleep? Remember the first time you were turned loose, you had all the ice cream you wanted? Or anybody ever had that privilege? I did one time. God killed me. It wasn't perfection. But sure, the next best thing to it. This is the ultimate. Now then, in winding down the message, Brother Branham put his sermon, Future Home, under the seventh seal revelation and part of the seven thunders, and therefore revealing of a hidden mystery, not necessarily completely hidden or unknown, but one that was not clear and exactly right as to the understanding and the placing of it. Now, this message does not sound that way. You say, wherein then could that be something that Brother Branham brought under the seventh seal? No clear revelation means no true faith. Thus, the faith of Abraham as his revelation of the created city can only be ours as we partake of his dynamic revelation, that he knew exactly where the city would be, and he met with Melchizedek, and was served the bread and wine before Almighty God, and he saw the destruction of Sodom, and he saw not only the promise of the Son and the presence of God, he saw the Son himself brought forth, and he saw the eternal city under promise. He saw himself there, he saw the Son there, he saw everybody there. He was a part of it. And God said exactly right, but you're going to have to wait for it. Now we are not in the waiting stage at this time. We haven't got very much time left. We have gone through all these experiences. See, the communion of Melchizedek, the bread absolutely broken to us, and the thrill of the Holy Ghost putting us on the final journey of peace with God, knowing exactly where we're going. Where are you going, Brother Sitzel? I'm going to New Jerusalem. Well, I thought it was going to the millennium. Oh, man, that's just a stop-off, please. I don't believe it. What's 1,000 years to eternity? Blip. And you better look fast. See, now, in this hour, we have met face to face with God, as Israel did by the prophet, and have received the bread of the word and the wine of revelation, and know as a spouse bride that we with Christ have laid claim to our inheritance and have already received marching orders to take the world over with Christ, not for Christ, but with Christ. We'll take nothing over for Christ. Anything we're taking over for Christ right now, brother, sister, is taken over by faith coming against Satan. Two or three gods in his name believing. Coming against the things of the enemy. Now, an army has to know its objective. Because the shout is the kusma, which is the general giving a command. Line up for marching orders. And everybody thinks particularly that the marching order is strictly for the millennium. It is not. The marching orders to your city, brother, sister. These girls were not dressed for the scullery. They were not dressed to work out in the fields as Ruth did, where she had a little old skirt on, gathering up a little bit of wheat and a little bit of gleaning. These girls are dressed for the palace. Yep. You bet they are. That millennium is just a blip on the screen. I'm not running it down. It's tremendous because that's the honeymoon of the bride and the bridegroom. that's where you have that 1 year take time off. Where the father provides the house for the bride and groom in the father's residence. The father owns all the land. This young son of his gets married. Young fellow, maybe he's teen, gets married. Back there, they got married a whole lot younger. Some a whole lot older than matter. Boaz a long time getting married. Joseph a long time getting married. Anyway, they get married, they're entitled to 1 year off. That's right. That's the honeymoon period. See? Now an army has to know its objective, be under leadership, thoroughly able by its equipment and knowledge to walk in and take over. Oh, you think they didn't do that in the time of Israel when they walked over Jordan? They knew who their leader was, Pillar 5. They knew their general, Joshua. They knew the priestly order. Judah, go ahead and start singing. Get the praise of God rolling. Type a new Jerusalem. The new priesthood. When they got to the river, they're going to put their feet in the waters, roll back at harvest time, which is flood time. Walk over in dry ground. They said, make a monument. Gather stones for the middle there. Never forget it. Now then, start praying and singing. But they marched to Jericho, and they went mum. But he said it was march around seven times, one time each day. Now the seventh day, march around all the way around seven times. Boy, the trumpets all fell down flat. They went and took in. God giving to the fifth dominion. Now, this part of the great mystery under the seventh seal, how does living man get his rights restored to Eden? Back to the rural existence he failed. Overcome what he failed in, during the millennium, that's the time of sanctification, and then go on to the urban. How does he do it? We explained it. There has to be a message. There's got to be a new seed planted, like Brother Branham did in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Chapter 6 was William Branham, by the Spirit of God, planting the seed. And the enemy came right behind and destroyed it. Now, the real mystery that I know is behind what Brother Branham preached, according to his ability to set the whole Word of God in order, is this. It is the order of the confusing scripture concerning the coming of the new heavens and earth. Now, let's go back to Peter. We're going to read it. And in there, we will not just talk of the spirit of the prophet. Let's get this. Let's start at Peter 3. Got lots of time, but I'll soon be finished. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. I said at the end time, when you see this certain thing come into view, there's going to be scoffers. Now let's watch these scoffers pretty close, and I'll be deviating to what Brother Terry taught you. I won't contradict it, but I'm going to deviate from it and show you what you're looking at. And saying, where is the promise of His coming, of His appearing, of His presence? For since the Father's fellowship, William Branham is gone, where's the changes? Where's the promise? We don't see a thing. Everybody's getting kookier than ever. That's the way it's supposed to be. What are you thinking about today, brother? You think it's going to get better? Come on, little children. Come on, it's going to get worse. Hardly a preacher not willing to cut my throat. And they show their colors all the time. According to my doctor's blasphemies, I'm going to lead you into sin. Is that a fact? Challenge you. They've been messing around, running around, challenging. I challenge you now. Where did you hear one thing in my sermon? See if you do some of those things. Now, if you want to name names, I'll name names because you're sitting right here this morning. You're not saying what Lee Dale says. You're not doing what Lee Dale does either. So I know what I'm talking about. Where is it? Who believes? Who's got a hope? Who put their home in order? Who's watching these things? In love and in kindness. Where's the promise? Hogwash. Ain't none. William Branham's gone like Joe Smallwood. Ain't no more premiers in Canada. Ain't no more prophets. Outside Elijah and Moses when they come in. Now, what's it all about? Now listen, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Now it says they know something and they don't give a rip. Something was terribly well taught by the last prophet. They don't care. Does God ever change His mind? Doing God's service apart from His will. End time evangelism. Counting down. Jezebel religion. Rapture. New Jerusalem. Future home. This subject, they're willing enough. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now it says, they know this world's got to burn. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And He's talking about the earth that perished and is going to perish again and be renewed. And He said, I want you to get this flat. When you come to this subject, know this, that no matter what you think or believe and what you say about the prophet of God, this prophet is on the scene and it's merely a blip one day before this takes place. Now watch. God's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's suffering, long-suffering, as word, not one that any should perish, but all should come repent. In other words, the last child in and child trained. Now listen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are then to be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy behavior and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, love, it seems that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him with, in peace, without spot, without blemish, on account of the long-suffering of the Lord, of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved Paul also, according to His wisdom, has given unto you and written unto you, wisdom given unto him is written unto you. And also the epistle speaking of those things in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned unstable rest, as they also do other scripture on their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware that you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let's understand this, brother, sister. This is the scripture that has confused everybody. Is there a premillennial rapture? I beg your pardon. A pre-tribulation rapture. Is it a post-tribulation rapture? Is there a premillennial coming? Is there a post-millennial coming? Or is there any millennium? And this is the trouble. Right in here. And this is why Brother Branham preached the 8th day to the theologians and the typologists. And showed them what the 7th feast, or the Feast of Tabernacles, was all about. And how the millennium is under the Feast of Tabernacles. But the New Jerusalem is forever, is the 8th day which is eternal. Now, when you read this, it is very, very plain that this generation, here now, by reading the scripture, should believe that there's no millennium. Because it says so. Except one day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So Brother Branham, vindicated prophet of God, has taken the Roman Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Anglican Church, and everything that came out of all those churches, right to Pentecost. And he said, I am telling you now all about it. And he set the understanding in perfect order. There is a rapture. There is a pre-rapture appearing called the days of the Son of Man, the presence of God. There is a rapture which is pre-tribulation. 3.5 years tribulation. There is a wedding supper for 3.5 years. There is a coming back of the great king with his army in Revelation 19. And they will take the Antichrist, the devil, the whole bunch, and shut them up. And remodel the earth, restore a part of the earth, at least. And they will dwell on it in righteousness for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, which there will be 1,000 years, there will be a resurrection, and the great white throne will come up, and sin will continue, and judgment. And the wicked will be set to one side. And the wicked will gather themselves under Satan. And they'll come against whatever that holy city is upon earth, because there'll be a temple there. Against God and His people. And once more it will be a battle. It says right here. But it says, at that time, the coming will be like a thief in the night. Just like it's like a thief in the night right now. You say, I can't understand how to be that way. I don't either, and I care less. It says that terrible part of it, when the heavens roll back, and they're going to get a taste of that in the great tribulation. It says those heavens and everything will be suddenly taken right away as fire comes down and destroys all the wicked. And God catches his lamb and his bride to the throne, and all the foolish virgins, and all those others that come in that are going to be in his glory. And at that time, he recreates everything and brings in his perfect judgment. Now listen, you pick up books on millennialism, all millennia, post, pre, the whole bunch. It doesn't affect you, my brother and my sister, because you've never studied it. And I didn't study much because I thought it was too stupid. But I couldn't understand why Brother Branham talked about the 8 days when I'm not even concerned about an 8 day. But Brother Branham, like Elijah, was pastor to Jezebel and to Ahab and all the world. And William Branham, prophet of God, set the whole thing in order. And he said it in the prophet. He didn't only sow the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former reign. He went right beyond under the field and took us right back to the consummation, the fulfillment of Almighty God in time. See, that is what we are looking at. Now then, we are going to close and we go back to Joel, the 2nd chapter. We got our time this morning. We're just deliberately using it because I don't want to continue this another time. All right. Joel, chapter 1, and chapter 2 and 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Do you believe that? All right, let's find out if you do. Where would you turn to in your Bible if you believe it? Anybody tell me, where am I going to go now? Come on, come on, come on. I haven't been teaching all these years, you still can't follow me. Come on, come on, come on. Think, think, think. Where do I go to Mount Zion in the New Testament? Tell me. See, you're dreaming. I hate to near embarrass you, but look. Where do we go? What's one of my favorite chapters in Hebrews? 12. Verse 18. For you are not come to the mount that might be touched and burned with fire nor with blackness, and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words with voice they'd heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They could not endure that which was commanded, so much as beast touched the mountain should be stoned or crushed with an ark. There was a darkness so terrible was the sight. Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the number of company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, and those written in heaven, to the God of the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. He is talking a perfect chronology, my brother, my sister. This is a chronology in the Bible, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of spring speaker, better things of Abel. What does he say? He said, repent, repent, repent. I'm going to chase you, I'm going to train you. And as many as overcome your thinking, your big fat brain that's full of wrong cholesterol, the hardening of your arteries, and the hardening of the arteries make you hear voices. Come on. I speak as a doctor, but I'm not one, but I can tell you, the doctors will tell you, I ran across it. Hardening of the arteries. You will hear voices. Sick. Arteries clogged. Hardened arteries. Blood can't get there. Hearing voices. To the generous assembly church, the firstborn written in heaven, to God the judge of all, he's the judge, to the perfect, to the spirits of just men made perfect, that's his end time, and to Jesus, the new covenant, the blood of the spring, to speak better things out of Abel. If at any time the blood speaks better things, it speaks this: the blood of Christ only can get us to the tree of life. Live forever. See that you refuse not him to speak it. Where is he speaking from? Mount Zion. Right? For if they escape not, refuse him to speak on earth, much more shall not escape, return away from him that speaks from heaven, from Zion, whose voice then shook the earth back in Moses' day, but now he's promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth, but also heaven. Zion's got to do that. 1,000 years is a day, brother, sister. The day after tomorrow, you're going to be in Mount Zion. Oh, how nice, brother Dale. Yeah, I think you're right. Don't feel bad. I feel the same way. I'm not a hypocrite up here telling you things and say, oh, brother Dale, sure, no, bless God. I'm having problems too. But I know it's the truth. And as long as you know it's the truth, you go ahead. Listen, you know, you learn theorems, don't you? Especially in geometry, calculus, what have you, geometry. Basic geometry, you learn theorems. So they give you a question. So, well, the teacher proved the theorem. Now, oh boy, I got to apply the theorem to the question. And you apply, and you apply, and you apply, and you apply, and you work, and you work, and you mind it, you mind it. Hey, I'm getting it. That's what this. You got to get the word in the channels. And if it gets down here and nothing else is there, it'll start coming out. Tomorrow, I'll march with you on Zion's Hill. Oh, brother, I'm looking at a great long period of time. 1,000 years is but one day. And one day but 1,000 years. What's he telling you? Time and eternity have blended. And the great day of the Lord that people look down the road for is right here and now. And everything is in him and going on apace. Once more going to shake the heavens and earth. And this word once more signifies the moving of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. That's all this junk out here that's made with the word, changing the word and all. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now listen, wherefore we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is the consuming fire. What God's the consuming fire? The one that speaks from heaven. That one. Now he's going to shake you down. The bride's going to be shaken down from her head. Her thought. See? Here, what are you thinking? The prophet came and set us in order. Now let's go back to Joel. Okay. Blow a trumpet in Zion. What trumpet? 1 Corinthians 15. The trumpet shall sound. Revelation 10:7. The day is the voice of the trumpet sounding. Now listen. The time nigh at hand. Notice, it didn't say it was right there. It says nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of cloudiness and thick darkness. As the morning spreads upon the mountain, the great people are strong. There has not been ever light. Neither shall there be any more after, in the years of many generations. The fire devours before them. Flames burneth. The land is the garden of Eden before them. Behind desolation and wilderness, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and the horsemen, so they run. Like the noise of chariots at the top of a mountain, they leap. Like the noise of flame of fire, the devours of stubble are strong. People set in battle array. Before their face, the people should be much pained. All faces gather in blackness. Now, if that was tough at Mount Sinai, what's it going to be like before New Jerusalem? Complete burnup. After it reduced it. Reduced like atomic bomb. They shall run like mighty wind, climb upon the wall like men of war. Shall march every one his ways. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one trust another, nor walk in another's path. And they fall upon the sword shall not be wounded. They run to and fro in the city, climb upon a wall, climb upon the houses, enter the windows like a thief. The earth shall shake before, the heavens tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. He is strong to execute his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Now, you know something? That can absolutely be the saints with Jesus Christ taking over this earth. Because Brother Branham made a statement here about those that go over the wall. He said, that's literally a rapture. I can't place all this, but I'm telling you, that's exactly what you're going to see. And then at the end, you're going to see a complete dissolution. See? Now, verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you to me with all your heart with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knows if he return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering before the Lord your God. But blow trumpets in Zion, sanctify a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify this congregation, and so on. You know something? This is fine, that can go on right now. But let me tell you something here. As concerning this, the Lord has already laid it open for you and me to repent, because that's the last message, the last church age. But they won't repent. They won't change their mind. They won't do it. So here we see the end time prophet, Brother Branham, coming on the scene to fulfill all these things we see in the Word of God. Now, man wants, so there it is, what we're looking at. The whole picture set in order, the whole chronology, and how it's to take place. So therefore, as Peter warned, we will not be unaware. Now, it doesn't say that we can do something about it. It just says we're not unaware. Paul said the same thing. Now, what are we going to do about it? Begin to live our lives in the light of this word that we are the children of God and we belong to a heavenly city. There is much to be done within us. I am not a legalist. Because what I'm looking at is this. I'm looking at the fact that we need the divinely revealed Word of God. We need that Word from within us. We need a part of our very life, the life of God. And God infuses that Word by the Holy Ghost. And out of that will come the life. and what God wants manifested. But there must always be the constant paying attention to that word, that we walk in it and make whatever decisions we are allowed to make in this life according to that word and according to the law of the land. There must be more obedience to the law of the land and an understanding as well as to the law of Almighty God. We must be those children that God has set here. We cannot just simply say the word, well, I believe the prophet, that's it. That's the kind of jump that they said back in the days of Brother Branham on earth, Banquets, and they said, well, we believe the prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Banquets said, well, he said, if you believe that, it's a pity something didn't rub off on you. Because I don't think you believe very much that he's Lord Jesus Christ the way you live. They're pulling every dirty trick in the book and even living with men, with women in sin. Man wants a reality that only God can give him. And that reality has started its final phase. The count from 1 to 8, not a count to 1 to 10. The count of 1 to 8 puts us in number 7. And number 7 is passing quickly to number 8 because they're blending. Because the millennium, my brother, my sister, though in itself is a time, it is a part of eternity because we are eternal. And the eternal God is there in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ in the great honeymoon, and we are living and reigning on earth for that millennial period that was missed to make it all up. And then we go on. And if you think the millennium's good, and it is, it's wonderful, you wait for the holy city. I trust I'm waiting with you. We're going on now to the eighth day, which is eternity, the new heavens and the new earth. And here is eternity and time blending with time on the decline and eternity on the increase. It is identical to William Branham, who said, I must decrease that God will increase. The last great step, whether you know it or not, and I know it or not, concerning the Gentiles, has taken place. So I'm waiting for Brother Branham to come back and do this and that. I'm waiting for Brother Branham to come back too. What he does is God's business and his. But I know one thing. If I am not ready for his return, if I am not ready for the resurrection then, it doesn't matter what he does when he comes back. Because his coming back does not depend, does not make something for me. I can tell you that. It's whether I'm in the election or not. And the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. And remember, the Apostle Peter warns us in this last day. He said, Paul said many things that are hard to understand. And many people arrest them to their own destruction. And he said, they're going to do it in that day. The day of the presence that requires a prophet to interpret it. Now, I believe Brother Branham's come back. What's he going to do? I haven't a clue. I don't know. To run an exact parallel of Brother Branham's ministry in the Lord Jesus Christ, if it continues, I say this. Jesus came back and he spoke to them concerning the things of the kingdom. And he did those things necessary to make them realize exactly who he was. Because they didn't recognize him. Now, he did have a job with their faith. Well, let me tell you something. They didn't have the Holy Ghost like you and I have. What will he do? I don't know what he'll do. I don't know. But he left us the word. He left his future home. He set it in order. He said, I want to tell you people something. I'm going to tell you about the condition of the rapture. How many believe it? I'm going to tell you something. He's here. He's already brought his message. It's been proven by a revival. And there's no genuine healing revival unless there's a new message. He said, you've got the genuine healing revival. You've got the genuine message. That's the first thing. The next thing now is he's going to call the dead out of the ground. I want to ask you a question. When did God call the dead out of the ground? When Jesus' body was in the ground, it was God himself who raised Jesus. The Bible said God raised Jesus. Didn't say Jesus raised Jesus. So what's in the right here to raise the dead? And what's the next thing? After getting created and have a great time together, 7 with 7, 6 with 6, 5, 5, 4, 4, right, they're coming up, then turns right around. And takes us right up. Number 1, 1st, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And we go into a handful. Nobody misses. And we're all there. The spirit that took us there incarnates himself in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We crown him King, the King, the Lord of Lords. And we have a wedding supper for 3.5 years. Then we come on back and take the world over for 1,000 years. Then it's all chaotic again. The devil turns up. billions of people risen up, coming against the holy city, against our God and everything else. You say, Brother Dale, at that time, do we wonder? I know we're going to do. I'm not there yet. You wait till I find out. So what manner of people you ought to be right now in this hour, knowing that 1,000 years is one day. And one day is 1,000 years means you've lost all sense of time, period. Everything looks kind of black. Fire comes down, just zaps it. Dissolves it, melts it. Right in our presence. Turns into a lake of fire, God sweeps it right off. Right to the throne. There's a beautiful city, it's all there. Millions and millions of it. With the divine power of God, recreate the whole thing. We'll see recreation, brothers. Imagine standing there and seeing it. God's not going to say, now turn your back and close your eyes. Stand right there and see it. You say, man, that sounds too good. That's what always sounds too good. Thank God something sounds too good and is true. I would like a dish of that. Talk about your Rolls Royce, your Cadillac, your Mercedes Benz, phooey on them. All that junk is going to be brought back to maybe nitrogen or something. One building block. Remember the time you wanted to get rid of your old car? God's going to get rid of it for you. The old house you didn't like? He's going to annihilate it. All those nasty germs that bugged you, they'll be gone. No more crooked fingers. If there's no crooked trees, there's no crooked fingers. I got part of mine missing. Going to get it back. I'll get my hair back too. I won't worry about it. My vain pride will be gone by then. Yours will too. But here's the tip. It's here now. It's here now. Listen to me. 1,000 years the day after tomorrow. Huh? You know something? Before you sit down to your Christmas dinner of roast turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, excellent stuffing, you know, cranberry sauce, whatever you like, pumpkin pie, fruit cake, all those things, they give you a pill that whets your appetite. So when you sit down, you can eat 10 times at least and enjoy it without suffering, which you would have done if you didn't have the pill. The millennium is that pill. True. But you see, it's still just the pill. You follow me? It's going to take the mind a little changing to do it, brother, sister, but this is what the Bible said. It's one of the manifestations of the sons of God. Can you do it? Can you look at what's right in front of you, the prophet laid out, and say, that's it? Can I do it? I sometimes close several times. I'm on the verge of it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, open his feet and speech, to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. New Jerusalem itself is bought for us. By a new living way which has consecrated us through the veil, that saved flesh. And we've eaten it with Melchizedek, sign of it. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with evil conscience and their bodies washed with pure water. That's Ephesians, right? Fine. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. For faithful is he who promised. Where is the promise since the fathers fell asleep? Now listen, and let us consider one another to provoke. The word provoke means to excite to paroxysm. I'm just ready to laugh out loud in derision at that one. How many of you have I ever excited anybody to paroxysm concerning the things of God? good food, beautiful women, nice motels, race cars, fast horses, better health, more money, high on Jesus stuff. Interesting, isn't it? Get people excited to love and to good works. I've been trying to preach that for a long time here. If you really have faith in this word, and you've got this, and I'm the pastor here, I'm teaching the word, you've got to have faith in me. Look, I don't demand you have faith in me just because I want you to have faith in me. I'm looking at the whole congregation, and I will not sell this congregation for one person or for one family. I don't care who it is. You're looking at the wrong guy. I don't have that kind of friends. And I won't have that kind of friends. I love you, but there's nobody who will make me sell this congregation for one family or somebody else. Now look, I preach hard, I preach strong. I go with the prophet of God in teaching his word. We can have the sick healed among us. We can have this word and what comes out of the word, providing I am teaching you that word, according to the prophet. Now, if I am and you can't dispute me, you know, it goes from cover to cover. Listen, this morning I've taught you things you never thought of. I've caught you couldn't even go to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Well, you should be able to do that. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, you should be able to do it. It is not that hard. Then you had better listen to me. And pay attention. Because my ministry is not built upon character or upon conduct. It's built upon a gift. And I can't use it for myself. It doesn't work that way. It's for you people. And anybody hears you say, again, I'm not aggrandized. You do what you want with getting that boasting up. God have pity on your soul. That's not at all. If you want what I'm talking about, there has got to be a solid faith in this word, period. And you talk it according to how it was taught. And you stick together as you've never stuck together before, and everything is relinquished in the sight of this word as we understand it. At the same time, we do not let any gross sin come amongst us. And the constant warning, and I know some of you are good with talking to each other and saying, don't do this and do that, and if that person or persons continue, they will be responsible. You'll bring shame on yourself, you'll bring shame on the Lord, you'll bring shame on the church, and God will judge you. And you'd be hindered. But if the church can take this word and advance on it knowing that out of this word comes a super life with a super people approaching unto God who know their God, who have the word, they will know what to do with it. And God will move amongst us. And I don't give a rip if 99% of us are unbelievers or make-believers. At the end time, the anointing is come across the board. Listen, it matters not. The scripture distinctly says at the last time there will be a complete revelation. And there will be a complete ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter what flesh it's in, it'll be there. So this church positively can be 90, could be, just put a small figure, 51%. Could be make believers, unbelievers, and get a genuine anointing upon the flesh. So that if we're going to miss it, at least we got a little heaven to go to hell in, instead of all kinds of hell to go to hell in. At least there's going to be something to our credit. So we join forces. Let's go a little further. And let's say, well, Brother Vail, our church is made up right down the middle of wise and foolish virgin. Well, I don't care what we're made up. I'm just telling you this, that a bunch went out to meet him. There were certain in the election and the predestination the other didn't have. But the strange thing at the end time is this, they can both be anointed. The same as Israel, not one sick amongst them. Brother Branham, knowing who is in the congregation, constantly prayed and said, oh God, let there not be one sick amongst us, one feeble person. The same prophet constantly led us to understand there was healing for us. He never let down on the things of God. Now that's what I'm trying to say in this message and what we're looking at with William Branham, Prophet of God. Get our eyes on the Word off of each other, believing for each other, and say, yes, I am a part, and everybody here is a part, and by the grace of God, we hold our hand out for every bit of life that's in that Word, the anointing of God upon us. See? For everything that God has. Because in Him, the great anointer at this hour is the millennium, is everything, the second coming. There's nothing that's not in Him, and He is here. You say, well, I just don't know if I want that. I want to settle for the real thing. Brother, sister, there isn't one of us knows who is real and who isn't. The foundation of God stands firm. You say, the Lord knoweth them which are His. See? So let's press in. Now, in saying these things, I am not calling for loyalty for myself because, listen to me, I can be out of here tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about to this Word. If you believe, I take in Brother Brown's message. And I've got right down to the heart and depth of why he had to preach the certain things he preached. And I know this morning I'm actually sold and confident that whatever talks to me from this Word, from Brother Branham, after he told you that William Branham, as the prophet Elijah, was Ahab and Jezebel's pastor. And he brought all the mysteries. And the mystery's been raging for years. All millennialism, post-millennium, pre. What is it all about? A vindicated prophet told you. Preached exactly with Peter and Paul. And they still missed it. Because they didn't know he was the one to tell them in plain, blunt language the perfect chronology. There's your chronology right there. Getting a bride in order. Brother Branham said something like this: when you're born again, you just heard your theophany. I don't understand what he's talking about exactly. I never take time to ask God, look at the context. I wonder if this morning have we heard from Mount Zion? Have we heard a personal message from our mother? Now we know we have. But has it become dynamically personal? I've taken a long time this morning. I won't be preaching with you. Brother Pete, you didn't know, but you were tagged. When your back is turned, remember, the fifth rib getteth the knife. For your preaching Wednesday night. Sorry about that. But, you know, we had to take advantage of it because you weren't here. See? That's the name of the game. So, all right. So, there we are. I'll be away for a while, far as I know. How long, heaven knows. I might go somewhere, I might not. Because I never know how the wind blows. And I speak in terms of how I might be led. So, there you are. We want you to know these things, brother, sister. And I believe that I have told you everything that I need to garner from this nice, long message. What was 24 hours to begin with, 4.5 more. Now what, 3.5? Doesn't matter. Let's rise and be the same. Any questions, you write them. We'll take anything we can to help you out because this is what we're here for. To get this knowledge that God wants us to have. Because listen, when you get it, God will dynamite it. See? Our Heavenly Father, we know we took longer than we wanted to, Lord. But that's all right. As far as I'm concerned, if I got strength, Father, I'll preach. And Lord, if these people got the endurance to listen, which they have, they've listened beautifully and attentively, and I believe that they believe, Lord, what the prophet taught, and I believe what, and I know they, I'm sure they believe, Father, what I said this morning, because there's nobody that has studied your word, Lord, but doesn't know that these problems have been there for hundreds of years by millions of people that call themselves Christians. And here we are this morning, Lord, with the absolute answer the prophet gave us. And we don't have to worry anymore. We don't have to worry about language. Say, well, I don't know this because look at over here. Like we know a brother over there in Europe did that. And look where he is today. We won't talk about it, Lord, but we all know where he went because he challenged. Because he thought he could read the Scripture. Now, Lord, you know that I can't read Scripture, Father. As the prophet prayed many times, he said, our hands open this book, but anybody's hands can open. But, Lord, only by your Spirit can what's in it really be open to us. And Father, I believe this morning, no matter how we might feel, we might not feel elated, We might feel as though we just came and had a Sunday school lesson or some kind of class. That's what Brother Branham always said anyway. Just like a Sunday school lesson. I want to teach you something. Do what you want with it. If it lives, it doesn't live, it doesn't live. Now, Lord, we don't believe that's the way it is here this morning. Because as the prophet believed that there was going to be vessels in whom that word lived, Lord, New Jerusalem is going to come to life in somebody. And Father, I can't stand up here. And how could I believe, Lord, if I'm right, and I believe I am right, that this would not come to life in me? And Lord, if I believe I'm speaking to bride, I believe this is, if ever there's an elect church anywhere, I believe this is it, then I believe it's going to come to life in these people. And then I believe by that way, Lord, the more and more word becomes living, then the sweet presence of Christ becomes manifest, the love of God infuses and suffuses our souls, and the sick get healed among us. And we just see the word of God mightily. And Father, we know it. We just believe it, Lord. Now, Father, until our faith is more perfect, until it's more dynamized, Lord, we just commend ourselves to you and ask you, my God, to bless each and every one. And may not one person go away full from this, or empty from this meeting, Lord, but full of the word of God. Now, unto the King eternal and immortal, this is the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, the Lord, amen. Let's sing that chorus, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Lloyd, you know that one too. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he loved me. You know, John says, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And then he said in the next chapter, I'm coming back. I'm going to take your I am. But we never knew he'd come back and make sure we're going to make it. Well, let's take the name of Jesus.